Hello, I am Kim Fernandez and welcome to my podcast. In this podcast, I will be talking about the gender bias in language and the subtle ways that language shapes us. As part of my women's writing course, I've come across many female writers in India and their novels and poems. As a girl in the 21st century, their works have inspired me as well as enlightened me to many subjects that were relatable and also different. I was surprised by the difference in the language written by female authors and male authors, as I've studied literature across different genres. These subtle differences in choices of words for gender can be seen in textbooks in school, as well as novels and short stories. As a feminist and an avid reader of books, I was curious and surprised by how the application of gender to language can shape society and a person's mind. This podcast is a reference material and source of information as to how gender bias in language can shape the various spheres of life. Episode 1. What is gender bias in language? The masculine gender has long been prescribed as the default in the world, a concept that is perpetuated through language. Our collective identity as humans is regarded to be masculine. We use the term man to define our species and mankind to define us as a whole. Carolyn Criado Perez states in her book Invisible Women, Data Bias in a World Designed for Males, that seeing men as the human default is inherent to the foundation of human civilization. The male prejudice is so deeply established in our mentality that even legitimately gender-neutral phrases like doctor or actor are viewed as male, she argues in her book. She further emphasizes that our society and language follow a general masculine framework. In certain circumstances, the masculine form speaks for both genders. In India's legal system, for example, papers are written in the masculine form, which is assumed to include women unless otherwise stated. Language in many ways both reflects and produces gender inequality in society. How we talk has an impact on how we think and perceive the world around us. As we try to reinvent our gender defaults and create a more socially conscious and inclusive culture, we must also consider language. Global languages fall into three categories with respect to gender. There are gendered languages like Spanish, where the nouns and pronouns have a gender. Then there are genderless languages, such as Mandarin, where nouns and pronouns don't have a marked gender. And then there is natural gender languages like English, with gendered pronouns and genderless nouns. The gender structure of the language we're using will make us more or less mindful of gender. Because we must consider gender when conjugating a verb or employing a noun in gender languages, it is probable that gender-based stereotypes and gendered power systems will have a greater impact on our views and beliefs about the sexes. When I began learning Hindi, which is a gendered language, I realized that I was supposed to respect males more than females. I wasn't permitted to talk the same way to my male and female friends. With men, I was taught to use the honorific plural. Aap kya kar rahe hain over tu kya kar raha hai to ask what are you doing. But I could only show respect to women using feminine endings. Aap kya kar rahi hain over tu kya kar rahi hai. We can address both genders politely, but we can't use the same linguistic structure that draws focus to the gender of the person we are speaking to. Depending on where we come from and how we learned the language, we may have been trained to treat men and women equally or differently. While formal language is associated with respect, it may also be used to show closeness or affection. In Hindi, some ladies speak to their husbands with aap, the respectful way of expressing you, while husbands refer to their wives with tum, which is the casual way of saying you, while other couples use the same pronouns for each other. A recent research has looked at whether these cultural prejudices are based on people's languages. Gender association in a language have been found to predict people's unconscious gender associations. To put it in another way, the data shows that linguistic connections are linked to people's subconscious judgment about what women are capable of. Episode 2: The Male Default and the Effects of Gender Bias. Hindi, Spanish, French, and Arabic are the four most widely spoken gendered languages in the world. Many of the gender patterns are the same. Male as the default grammatical gender, mixed gender groups with masculine ends, and feminine nouns derived from masculine counterparts. They emphasize Criado Perez's observation of the masculine default through their structure. For example, Spanish follows a generic masculine when it's unclear if a subject is male or female. A male friend is amigo and a female friend is called amiga, but a group of friends is called amigos. The male default also applies to mixed gender groups which use masculine endings, like amigos. The same goes for adjectives. A group of good female friends are called buenas amigas, but as soon as there is one male in the group, they'll be buenos amigos. It's also clear that masculine is the standard gender in Spanish, since it's the default form used in dictionaries. The languages we use have an impact on how we build society, and they may even set the stage for gender equality in our social institutions. Jennifer Privet Fraylino, Associate Professor of Design at the Rhode Island School of Design, with her colleagues, discovered in a 2011 study that nations with gendered languages had higher average gender inequality. Although one may anticipate genderless languages to be the most equal, the study found that natural gender languages like English saw the highest equality. There are many effects of gender bias. This bias is often inherent in our character, shaped by our upbringing, the society around us, and our personal experiences. One basic example of this bias is when someone refers to others by their occupation, such as doctor or engineer, and the assumption most of the time is that the person is male. Males, on the other hand, are not immune to gender bias. Teachers, for example, are frequently considered to be female, especially those who work with children of a younger age. As a result, men find it difficult to enter the profession of early childhood education. These beliefs, that no matter how dated, are difficult to dismiss and might spread through different spheres of life. Episode 3: Why Gender-Neutral Terms Matter. People may dismiss gender-neutral language as ineffective or ideological, but Perez's study indicates that it does have an impact on public opinion. In a 2019 study with Margaret Travitz, he discovered that using gender-neutral pronouns boosts favorable sentiments towards women and LGBTQ+ individuals. By lowering the predominance of masculine identity and thereby reducing gender-based prejudice. Within current linguistic frameworks, people have also discovered methods to generate gender-neutral choices. Shweta Vaidya, a Mumbai-based transgender writer, employs the Hindi plural hum form as a gender neutral alternative. However, just because a society has a vocabulary for gender differences does not mean that everyone understands or accepts it. Hijras, or the third gender, are a socio-cultural group of trans women and intersex persons with a long history in South Asian culture. However, for centuries, the term hijra and transgender have been interchanged, causing India's trans population to be misunderstood and ignored. When the Transgender Persons Bill was passed last year, the Hindi translation used the term Ubhyalingi, which means hermaphrodite, to represent trans people. So this law doesn't really protect or recognize the community as a whole. Language has an undeniable influence on who has access to equal rights in this way. Reforming the language is achievable, but it takes tremendous time. This does not necessarily imply that present structures must be dismantled, but rather there must be more inclusive solutions made available to society and communities. Instead of allowing language to shape how we see the world, we may go the other way around and consider how we can reflect our surroundings via our language choices. Episode 4: How to Avoid Sexist Language. Language that excessively specifies gender is referred to as sexist. It can come in a variety of shapes and sizes. Although it may appear that eliminating sexist language will lead to uncomfortable or unpleasant constructs, gender-neutral language may also be used smoothly and seamlessly. One way to avoid sexist language is by converting single nouns to plurals and using a gender-neutral pronoun, or avoiding using it altogether. In place of "each student must bring his or her notepads to class," use "all students must bring notebooks with them to class." Another way to avoid sexist language is by selecting a single sex pronoun and using it consistently throughout the work. But be cautious not to use it in a way that reinforces preconceptions. Another way to avoid sexist language is by selecting words that are equally applicable to both men and women. Many terms that may apply to males may also apply to women, which is a fact of the English language. For example, an actress can only be a woman, but actors may be both males and women. One who acts is the original definition of an actor. It isn't based on a person's gender. Some ways we can avoid sexist language is by using gender-neutral terms. For example, use people or humanity instead of mankind. We can use workforce or employees instead of manpower. A person can use firefighter and not fireman. They can use police officer and not policeman. Another way is by saying postal carrier or postal worker instead of postman. This is the end of the podcast of gender bias in language and the subtle ways language shapes us. Thank you so much for listening.